Good evening. Woo. How are you guys doing tonight? Okay, I'm really excited about what I'm sharing or what the Lord put on my heart to share. Are you guys excited for the Word of God? Right? Well, for those that don't know me, my name is Pastor Pam. I'm one of the assistant pastors here at the church. Many of you probably know my husband, Pastor Cap, so I'm his wife, Pastor Cap's wife. Most of you probably know him. So why don't we go ahead and start in prayer, and then we'll dive into what I believe the Lord put on my heart for you tonight. Amen? Okay, Father, we're so grateful for you. We're so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful, Father, that you've equipped us, that you've sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper. Lord, we're so grateful, Father God, that you decided to not leave us the way we were, but you came, you rescued us, you empowered us, you filled us with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, you set your love upon us, and we're so thankful for that. We're so thankful for your word tonight. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is a great teacher, and he'll teach each one here what you want them to know personally for their lives, Lord. Father, thank you that I'm a vessel for you to just live through, to share through. And Father, I yield myself and get out of the way for what you desire to do tonight, Lord. We're so grateful that as the word goes forth, that it challenges us, that we may believe something we didn't know or didn't believe before. Thank you that through the word of God, we get changed. Through the word of God, we find solutions, Father God. For the word of God, we find out who you are and who we are in relationship to you. And we're so grateful for that. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. If I talk too fast, just raise your hand. Because I am a fast talker, and I don't mean to talk really fast, but I guess I'm just a little bit of a fast talker. So I'm excited to share tonight. The title of the message is Keep the Flow. Aren't they amazing with the beautiful pictures that they use for what they create, right? So I'm going to start out giving a little bit of a groundwork for what I'm going to share because it needs like some groundwork. But I really sense that it's kind of more of an exhortation or like an encouragement for each one of us tonight. As a matter of fact, when I was sharing some of the scriptures with my husband, I was just sharing, oh, this scripture and that scripture. And he was sitting on one couch and I was sitting on the other couch. And he's like, oh my gosh, that message needs to be preached. Because it's when I start to share the scriptures, I want you to have an expectation. Because how many know the word of God is alive, right? It's powerful. It said that the word of God is inspired. It carries the DNA and the power of God. And so when we break bread or we break the word together, let's have an expectation that when the word goes forth that and shared, that you are going to, it's like breaking open that bread. It's going to nourish you. It's going to nurture you. It's going to deposit something in you as we go through these scriptures. So praise the Lord. I really feel like the goal tonight is the what. So the what and the how. So the what is, I really believe that tonight the Lord wants each one of you to know that you are not a spectator in this thing that we're in life with him, this journey we're on as Christ followers, that you and I are not spectators. So that's the what. We're going to talk about what that really means. And then the how is how do we not spectate? So if we're going to participate in something God is asking us or inviting us to participate in, there's a how. There's an empowerment that comes from God. And so we want to know what, and we're going to talk about how, a little bit about how tonight. And so we're going to start with a scripture in the book of Ephesians. We're going to go to Ephesians 4 in just a minute. But the letter to the Ephesian church, how many know these letters? The Apostle Paul wrote letters to different churches, right? Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, all of those. And those letters are written to those churches. But also those letters are written for us. So they're written to those churches, but also they're written for us as believers, as those who would come alongside and be Christ followers. They're also written for us. And this letter in the Ephesians, especially Ephesians 4, Paul was encouraging, strengthening the church. How many know it's important that the church is strengthened? Amen? Amen. That's really what we're going to be focusing on, that strengthening of the church. And you and I are part of the church. So Paul here is writing this, and he's emphasizing the fact, this is what he's emphasizing in Ephesians, the fact that believers, as believers, were united in Christ, okay? We're united as the church in Ephesus. He's saying you're united in Christ. Some were Jew, some were Gentiles, but now we're together, we work together as the church. I want you to say, I work together as the church. So Jews and Gentiles, different people came together, differences. But now Paul is saying we now are united in Christ because the church is one body. He's encouraging them to live out this truth that here, just listen, that we're united with, we're joined together with Christ as one body, but we're also joined to one another. And there's a strength in that. And so collectively as Christ followers, you and I are not here to just take up space. I want you to say, I am on a mission. I'm on assignment. And I have a purpose. And I want you to really believe that. Because a lot of times as Christians, there were years, excuse me, that I would say, I believe I have a mission. Or yes, I'm on assignment from God, but I'll be honest with you, I didn't live like that because there was deep down a part of me that just felt like, really, what do I have to offer? What do I really have to offer in for God? And so I want you to really get that you are on assignment from God. Not one of you in here does not have a purpose. Every single one has a purpose. Every one of you have a gift. Every one of you are on assignment in your sphere of influence. Amen? Amen? Okay, so we're collectively this body of believers. Individually, we have a purpose and a mission. Collectively, we do as well. And we are, as a body of Christ, not just as New Beginnings Church, but yes, New Beginnings Church, but also Big C Church. We are collectively empowered to display and release His kingdom upon this earth. Wherever you go, God has, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself, I'm getting excited because I was thinking on Bible study on Saturday with the ladies, we talked about this empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and it was like, wherever you go, we were talking about legacy and leaving a legacy. And the Holy Spirit on Saturday morning just started giving me scriptures to share. And I wasn't even supposed to do the Bible study. And I was like, oh my gosh, scripture after scripture of reminding us that yours and mine's signature, right? Like a brand. When you see Joyce Meyer, Tim Tebow, these people, there's a brand that they carry. Meaning when you look at Tim Tebow or Joyce Meyer, you say this person has left a legacy, an eternal legacy, because they deposited God in someone. And the mark of us, the legacy or the mark or the signature of our lives is that wherever we go, we bring the Holy Spirit with us. Wherever we go, our signature is that there's a mark that we leave. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in us and He wants to flow out of us. And there's a mark that you leave when you've walked into a place and whatever it is that God has you share, you share. I think about so many times, I was talking to someone the other day and she said, I went into the store and the Holy Spirit said, I want you to go talk to this woman and ask her if she knows Jesus. She went up to her. She asked her if she knows Jesus. She did not. She prayed with her. The woman started crying. She had a chance to pray with her. That's the mark that we leave. And we leave it because there's someone that's eternal. This, we have a treasure in this earthen vessel that wants to come out and wants to minister and display the glory of God to everyone around us. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so that's the purpose. We are here, you and I are here, to release His kingdom on this earth wherever we go because we carry the very presence of God. Amen?
Amen.
So here we go, Ephesians 4:11. If you have your Bible or your Bible app, please open it. Look at the word of God as we're sharing this. So Paul, again, he's strengthening the church. So he's giving them something that is going to strengthen the church. It says, and he himself, this is the apostle Paul sharing this, gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, strengthening, right? Strengthen for the edifying of the body of Christ. And here's the purpose of those that are apostles, prophets, evangelists that stand in these ministry gifts. These, we call them the fivefold ministry gifts. We're not going to focus on this part tonight, but I wanted to kind of give you groundwork. Their purpose is for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. So something they do when we take our gift and we use our gift, so the body gets edified. There's a supply, there's a strength that's released. So when pastors up here ministering, even right now, sharing, or someone that's in the children's church, our whatever we have in us that's flowing from the Holy Spirit, and it might be a gift, you should leave here tonight strengthened, edified. Did you ever go to a service, and you may walk in weary, but when you left, you were edified, right? That's because there may be the teaching gift. The gift that has the power of the Holy Spirit upon it is now depositing something in your life, and it's strengthening you. So these fivefold ministry gifts are helping us all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, right? Mature, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer tossed to and fro and carried around with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into him who is the head. And then it goes on to say this, and this is the part we're going to focus on. Who is the head? Christ. So Christ is the head of the church, and it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together. So there's this body. You and I, we're connected to Christ, but we're also joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. So there is something that you and I carry that as when we do our part, whatever that is, that the body of Christ is going to grow and get edified. And we want the body to be strong, right? Just like your natural body. If you have something wrong with your immune system, what? Your body's weakened. We want a strong body. Why? Because we have a purpose to fulfill before Jesus comes back. We're going to go a little bit more into the scripture, but I want to give you another foundational scripture that's going to help bring this out. So open, go to Ephesians 2:18, and this is in the Amplified, so you might want to look on the screens. I think it's in the Amplified Classic, if you could. Okay. For it is through him that we both, whether far off or near, now have an introduction or access by one Holy Spirit to the Father, so that we are able to approach him. Isn't that awesome news? Pastor's talking about the Holy Spirit right now on the weekends, and we're seeing how vital he is to our lives and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and through our lives. Therefore, you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, and aliens excluded from the rights of citizens, but you now share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, consecrated and set apart for himself. And you belong to God, his own household. You are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself, the chief cornerstone. In him, so here's the part that I really want us to hone in on. In him, in Christ, this whole collective structure is joined, bound and welded together harmoniously. And it continues to rise, grow, and increase into a holy temple of the Lord, a sanctuary dedicated, consecrated, and sacred to the presence of the Lord. In him, and in fellowship with one another, you yourselves are being built up, okay? So in him, I'm being built up. But also in fellowship with one another, we're getting built up into this structure with the rest to form a fixed abode, dwelling place of God in, by, and through the Spirit. This scripture is actually not in the Amplified, but if you walk past the scripture in the lobby, Ephesians 2 is up on that lobby. If before you go out the door, it's Ephesians 2. And you know, I would pass that scripture every day. And I remember last year, in the beginning of the year of 2024, for the women's we did a cornerstone. It was called Cornerstone. We talked about what this cornerstone was. And I was like, oh my gosh, we walk past this scripture every day. And I'm like, I didn't realize how powerful it was that we are each connected with Christ being our cornerstone, the main stone that gets put down. We're connected, but we're all bound together by the Holy Spirit. So these scriptures are telling us that we are fitted into this beautiful, ornate place for God to dwell. So I want you to think about that. He dwells in you individually, but he also dwells with us, in us, collectively as a body of Christ. And each one of us are those lively stones. When they were building in that time, when they would build structures, they would go to the ground and find these different stones. They were all different sizes, all different looks, all different shapes, right? And they would fit these stones together. And it was this symphony, this beautiful, harmonious thing that all of these stones would fit together. But they were held, but we get held together by the Holy Spirit that dwells individually and collectively. And I want you to get this. So therefore, you and I are part of a living, breathing entity called the body of Christ. The body of Christ is alive. It's living, it's breathing, and you and I are part of it. And that is super exciting to think about the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in us, and we as a collective body and individually are living and breathing so that the light of the gospel, the power of God, can be released through our lives and touch a dying, dead world. Amen? So, again, I'm just giving some groundwork now, and then we're going to get a little bit more practical. To be fitly joined together by that which every joint supplies. Joints in our body, bones are connected by our joints, okay? So there's two joints, and they connect together. And a joint, if we did not have joints in our body, we would not be able to do this. Everyone go like this. You can't do this, but I can because I'm standing, right? You would not be able to stretch. You would not be able to kneel down. You would not be able to bend if it were not for those joints. And so joints give mobility, and they give us the ability to turn, stretch. They give motion, and they give movement. If you ever hurt your knee or hurt your leg and you play sports, it's really hard to move your body, right? So every joint in our body helps movement and mobility. And every one of us, it says, every joint or member that you and I are, something about us being joined together and making, and we'll talk about what this supply is, we make a supply. Each one of us makes this supply. And the result of supply is that the body gets increased, strengthened, and edified, built up in love. So something about what you bring, whether it's your gifts, whether it's your strengths, something about what you bring and what I bring, empowered by the Holy Spirit, allows the mobility of the plans of God. See, the plans of God are, God is wanting to advance his plans. Movement, right? You cannot have movement without you and I making some type of supply available that's going to allow God's kingdom to be established upon the earth and advanced. His kingdom to be released upon the earth and advanced. Together, as this living, breathing entity called the body of Christ, together, you and I live in one focus to make our personal supply available so that he can be released. So I want to, when you think about this word supply, I want you to think about a support. Something about what I bring and you bring brings a support and upholds the strength of this body of Christ, the agendas of what God, heaven wants to do. So think about it, without support, like if I was carrying something really heavy, I would probably get really tired doing that, right? So I would need someone to come alongside me and to support. And there's a lot that we're carrying that God wants us to carry. And so as each one of us bring our support and bring our supply, that working out of the body of Christ does not get weary then. We get strengthened. God's plans get done. And I want you to say, I am part of God's plan for increase. So I'm getting in the flow. So God desires increase. He desires increased growth, increase in healings, increase in mature Christians. He desires increase. He desires for the body of Christ to grow and increase. And so we can put programs in place, and that's a blessing, right? But there's a particular way that God brings increase. And there's a particular way that God's plans come to fruition. It's by you and I participating. So God has plans, and the way that he brings increase is as we get involved and do our part and partner with God. Say, I partner with God. And as we partner with God, we bring a supernatural supply. You can put a program in place that could be dead as a doornail. But when we come together with our supply that's empowered by the Holy Spirit, it's a supernatural increase that takes place. So I'm going to give you some examples, and then we're going to go into how do we position ourselves personally to give our supply. Just 1 minute. So I'm going to give you a few examples. A few years ago, I remember we were doing staff prayer on a Tuesday morning. I'll never forget this. And sometimes on a Tuesday morning, you know, you might come in, or how many know any morning, you could probably get up and you get up on, like what someone would say, okay, the wrong side of the bed. So you might have an attitude or just, you know, and whatever the case may be. And I remember that Tuesday morning, Pastor Beth usually would be leading prayer, and I felt like a little kid on the inside. I felt like a kid who was there that was like sitting. No, I was standing on the outside, but sitting on the inside. Like, you know, like, do you know how they say that? Like, there's something about you that's like, I don't want to hear anything that is being said today because I'm just out in just in a really mood that I just don't want to be bothered. And so I remember sitting there, but I remember like a few days leading up to that, I had been reading two different scriptures. This room obviously was smaller at the time, and I will never forget this. All of a sudden I'm sitting there and we all start to pray, and we're praying, and it's like Pastor Beth will say, you like popcorn. So it's like popcorn. Each person's getting something by the Holy Spirit. So this one person prays, and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's the scripture the Holy Spirit told me to read just leading up to this day. So they are praying out that scripture. Then Pastor Tom, and I think it was a scripture in Lamentations or something, and I forget the scripture off the top of my mind, he starts praying this scripture. When he started praying this scripture, no kidding, I felt like the love of God just overtook me because it was on love. And I remember it was like something was came forth from the very inside of as each one of us were praying. And when I left that prayer meeting that day, I left so built up, on fire, so strengthened. That's what it looks like to make your supply available. And really what it is we're taking hold with the Holy Spirit. So God does not want this thing about us making a supply to be a striving, because we can strive and we could want to put it in our own hands and do things, and it could be very dead. But we want to hook up with what the Holy Spirit's doing. So I'm going to give you two other quick examples. A few weeks ago, we were praying about a particular situation with someone that I know who was sick. And it was me, Pastor Beth, Pastor Jerry, Pastor Tom. I think we happened to just go in that hallway room in pastoral care room. And so we're praying for this person. So as we're praying for this person, we just are praying, and then we stop, and Pastor Jerry said something. I don't even remember what he said, but Pastor Jerry said something, and I was like, oh my goodness. I said, that is the key to what's going on in this person's life. I knew that I knew that I knew, and I can't even remember offhand what it was, but I remember. So as we got together and made ourselves available to the Holy Spirit's working in us, we began to pray, and I said, I need to share that with this person because this situation with this person, this will break off of them. I would have not known that. I would have never known that in and of myself. But when he shared that after we were praying, he's like, I have a sense about this. And when he said it, it literally was like ironing, sharpening iron. I was like, oh my gosh, that is the key with this situation. So we're following the Holy Spirit. Okay, so how, that's really what I'm going to talk about for the next few minutes, is how do, can you and I best position ourselves for this supply? There's many ways we can do that, but tonight I'm just going to talk about two ways that we can position ourselves for that supply, because how many of you want to make that supply? How many of you want to get in the flow and allow the Holy Spirit to flow through you so that lives are impacted, so God's purposes are just going and advancing upon this earth? Amen? Amen. So I want, the first one is stay filled daily. Amen. Very simple, we stay filled daily. Because I want us to think about how 24/7, you and I are plugged into a natural world, right? We're plugged into the news many times. We're plugged into social media. We're plugged into, a lot of people are like, hey, I'm going to watch this series on Hulu or Netflix or whatever. We're getting overcharged in our hearts, right? And so at any given time, you and I are just in our overcharged in our senses, in the realm of our senses. And so, and just like we can become overcharged, you and I can become depleted daily, right? I remember when we were in Bible school, I remember, Pastor might remember this, Keith Moore used to talk about when you fill up a bathtub and then you pull the plug out, the water starts to come out and it depletes the water in that bathtub. Though the Holy Spirit lives in us, when we become busy, maybe our schedules are busy, maybe we're becoming depleted, though the Holy Spirit lives in us, it's important for us to stay filled daily. So what does it look like to stay filled daily? So we pull aside and we commune with him, maybe through worship, through prayer, through dialogue, through listening. We allow the wells of the Holy Spirit to be refreshed in us, right? When you spend time with God, what it is you're unplugging. He's always there. He's always there. But you unplug from everything going on around you, and what we do is we connect. We connect and we become aware of our source that's on the inside of us. And when we do that, we connect with that rich wealth deposit in us. We give space for him to cultivate that relationship with him in our lives. Psalm 1:1 says this, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor in the stands in the path of sinners, that's up there, right? Or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he or she does shall prosper. So I want you to imagine this tree, right? That brings up, it's like planted by rivers of water. We bring forth those nutrients that are in us by the Holy Spirit. When we spend time in the Word of God, when we spend time in his presence, we get supplied. We experience that supply. He repairs in you and I what's broken. When we spend time with him, he strengthens the weak areas of our lives. He heals what needs to be healed. He waters the dead places in us and strengthens us so we have that supply. Just like when you water your plants with a watering can, we have a supply then to now take and pour out into someone else's life. Amen? Amen. Jesus himself, I want you to think about this. Jesus himself pulled aside daily to get refueled, replenished, so that he can then continue to do ministry, to go out and heal the sick. Jesus stayed filled daily. And as you and I, build our prayer life, build this life of conversation with the Holy Spirit, build this life of saying, Holy Spirit, what is it in the Word of God you want to show me today? What is it that you want to speak to me today? As we do that, as we cultivate this prayer life with the Holy Spirit, we get reminded not only who we're connected to, but we get reminded of what He wants to do in and through our lives. Did you ever spend time with someone and you left their presence and like, oh my gosh, I am so refreshed. You get refreshed by their presence. That's what happens with the Holy Spirit. But I want you to see that prayer is connected to a supply. Now, I'm going to start reading some scriptures. When I was reading these at home and getting ready, I was like so excited. So I'm praying that you really grab these scriptures. So real quickly, in Philippians 1:19, Paul is saying, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. That supply might be direction He wants to give you. It may be an idea. It may be something He wants you to go share with someone. We create, we serve out of this supply that God places us in us. I'm going to read these scriptures in just a minute, but how many remember Mary and Martha? Remember? Martha was distracted. She was away in the kitchen, but Mary chose to sit at Jesus' feet, and as Jesus shared, those words were spirit, those words were life, and Jesus said, she made a choice with something better. It shall not be taken away from her. What is He saying? There was something by sitting with me. A deposit was made in her, and that won't be taken away from her. It's something we then get to move with, and then we get to pour into someone else. Okay, I want you to listen to these scriptures. Ephesians 5:15 says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another. So that word actually means be being filled. It's a continuous thing that as we speak to one another, as we speak to the Lord in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, worship, singing melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we do that, we are being filled. We are continually filling ourselves up with that supply. Amen? Amen. Okay, here's how we're going to see prayer is connected to a supply. Acts 4:23, and when they had prayed, the place where they assembled was shaken. And they were all filled, say filled, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. So in other words, there was a supply of the Spirit with them as they prayed. They were filled. There's that continually being filled. And they went forth and they had something to say. They preached as a result of being filled. Amen? Acts 13:1. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. And it gives a list of who they are. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, when we minister to the Lord, when we get our focus on Him, and we might be worshiping Him, we might be, Father, thank you that you are so good. You are such a good Father. Thank you for all you do. Thank you that you are my Father. Thank you that you live on the inside of me. Thank you for the good things that you've given me. When we do that, we are supercharging what's in us. And it said that that the Holy Spirit spoke to them. So when we do that, when we are filling our daily lives, when we're infilling, getting this infilling, many times the Holy Spirit will give you direction. If you look through the book of Acts, there were so many places where the Holy Spirit spoke and said something and said, go to this person, go to this house, go share this, go tell that, go minister to this person. As they got their focus, unplugging from the world, unplugging from everything around them, focusing and allowing. And this is not something that it's like we need to work up, you know, pray for 10 hours, get 50 million people praying for sister or brother so-and-so, and then just maybe God will do a miracle. No, this is an organic flow of spending time with the Lord and becoming aware. We're to become aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in us. Amen? So they got instruction. They were filled with direction. They got instruction. They laid hands and they sent someone out to walk in their purpose. Amen? We're seeing as we fill ourselves up, as we focus on Him, as we're aware of Him, each one of us, as those joints, we then get filled up and we are building up this body to be strong, powerful, and advance on this earth, right? I'm going to share one more scripture and then I'm going to go to the number two. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. So prayer and healing. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. So here it is. And the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. That word gave rain means this. In the Greek, it means to give something, to supply or furnish something. So here Elijah was praying. Prayer connected to a supply again. Elijah's praying, right? And it said he prayed that there would not be rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the heaven supplied something. There was a supply that was made. Why? Because prayer is connected to a supply of the Holy Spirit. It's something that's energized by God. We don't want things energized by us. We want things to be energized by God. So what happens when you spend time in prayer, when you spend time just fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit? He wants to talk to you more than you can imagine. He wants to talk with you, give you instruction more than you could ever imagine. And so a few examples I wanted to share is sometimes like during service, right, during worship, I know for me, I'll get a word and I'll write it down. I'll get something as the Holy Spirit's talking, right? And he wants this, again, to be organic. So Brother Hagin, which we went to at Rhema Bible Training Center years ago. I remember him, he shared a story recently. I've been watching some of his old videos, and he used to tell these stories, and it was like he just walked with God. He just walked with God, and God talked to him, and God shared things with him. And he said that this one time before a service, it was a healing service, he said, I was just praying, and he said, so again, a supply. He may show you a picture. He said, I saw a picture of a woman with blue jeans and I think a blue shirt. And he said, during prayer, I saw that. And he said, when I went out to run the healing service that night, he said, I saw the woman come up for prayer. The woman that I had seen in the picture in my heart came up for prayer. And he said, so I did what I saw myself doing years ago. So what we do is God may show us a picture. God may give us a word. That's a supply that we're to now step out on. Years ago when we had, first started the church, I remember Pastor Joe seeing in his mind, remember Pastor, God showed you that there was someone who was just saying like, oh, there's gotta be more. It was before service. It was when the church first started. He said, I'm getting this as I'm praying and just, you know, expectation. Again, walking with God, it's just organic because that's who we are. We walk with God, right? We have Him in us. And we just want to get away from the things so we could fellowship with that. We're in service and pastor's like, I don't know if you said there's someone here. And you saw a picture what they were wearing too. And he said, there's someone here who's saying there's got to be more. There's got to be more. He said, he knew what they were wearing. The person came up, they were in exactly what the Holy Spirit showed him. Amen? Because He wants to show us. Brother Hagin God used him a lot in the healing ministry. And so years ago, he said that he was at this service and he was praying. And he said there was a woman, she was bedridden, she was dying on her deathbed. And he said, my wife was on one side of the bed, I was on the other side of the bed. And he said, I'm praying and I'm just standing there. And he said, I have my eyes open now. Because the Holy Spirit said, go stand at the foot of the bed. And he's like, okay. But he said, I wasn't obeying immediately. And so he said, the Holy Spirit said it again, go stand at the foot of the bed. And he's like, okay, well, why would you need me to go stand at the foot of the bed? He says, so now I'm watching and praying. The Bible says, watch and pray. He said, so I open my eyes and I'm watching. And he said, so I'm watching. And he said, all of a sudden, my wife goes to stand at the foot of the bed. He said, so finally, I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to go. He said, so I stood at the foot of the bed. And the Holy Spirit said, now I want you to say whatever he said to her. And he said, as soon as I said it, she rose up from that bed completely healed, got up, I think, and made them lunch or breakfast or whatever. And he said later on, he said to his wife, why were you standing at the foot of the bed? And she goes, I don't know. The Holy Spirit told me, go stand at the foot of the bed. So sometimes he'll do that. And what is he doing? He's giving a supply so that strength is being released, so that the kingdom of God can be advanced. Rick Renner, who's an amazing Bible teacher, I love this story. Rick Renner, years ago, there was a woman who was dying. It's actually, when he tells the story, it's actually kind of funny, but he was like, he said, she's on this bed, and he said, there's all these pastors that they called to pray, and he said, they called me, and he said, I'm standing by her bed. And he said, I'm standing there, and I'm like, okay. He said, so I started praying in tongues. I'm just praying there in tongues. And he said, the Holy Spirit said, well, let me go to backstory. This lady had a stomach operation and it actually opened back up. And so she had, like, not to sound gross, but it was infected. Let me just put it that way. And he said, the Lord, Holy Spirit said, I want you to throw yourself over her stomach. And he's like, I rebuke you, devil, in the name of Jesus. And he's like, I rebuke you. And he said, so finally, the Holy Spirit's like, I want you to, he said, and he goes, what are all of these pastors going to think? Like, here I am praying in tongues, throwing myself over her body. He said, so I threw myself over her body. And the Holy Spirit said, when I did that, said, ask her about when she was a child. Her parents, both of her parents had died and she felt abandoned and she was dealing with a spirit of rejection for some reason. And he said, as soon as I asked her, what happened when you were a child? He said, the healing power of God hit her. He said, and she was totally walked in healing. He would have never known that. See, he wants to reveal things to you that you would never have a clue in your own natural mind. That's why we have, the Holy Spirit is amazing. The last year, the Lord has had me just camping more and more on the Holy Spirit and what he's there to do in our lives. I'm going to share one more story and then I'll quickly share the last point real quickly. So this past week, we're doing a Bible study for women on Saturday mornings. For any of you who are around, if you want to come out, it's 9 o'clock here at the Bic Krampus. So I was not supposed to do week two, someone else was. And she last minute, a few days before, could not do it. And so I watched, because I've been, you know, how many of you women, a lot of times, mostly women, a lot of times we'll do, like, we'll get so worked up sometimes when we have all of these things coming up in our lives. Like, how am I going to do all of these things? And I remember, and so when this happened, I was like, okay, Lord, he already started to move my steps towards something to be able to share. And so I was like, okay, and I put the message together very quickly, which usually I take forever to put messages. Not that I take forever, but I like to study, and so sometimes it takes me really long, and then I'll, you know, switch things up sometimes. And so he already began to show me this is the direction to go. So then that was Thursday. Now Friday, I was finishing typing my lesson on right before Young Adults on Friday night. So I'm in there, and when I was finishing typing, I sensed the Holy Spirit saying, tomorrow morning, this is what I want you to focus on a little. This is where I want you to camp for a few minutes. And he told me on which part of this message. So now he's adding a little bit more supply, right? He's supply. So I go to sleep on Friday night, and I knew Friday night's going to be a long night. I'm with the young adults. I'm not getting home till late. So I really can't do much for this message but rely on him. And so I get up Saturday morning, and I was so free. Because see, when you're learning to trust the Holy Spirit, you become so free. You become so free. We don't have to be anxious. Why? Because he knows all things. We don't have to be anxious. We can lean in and rely on him. So I woke up Saturday morning. I felt so free. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, good morning. And I'm like, is there anything you want to say? That's all I said. Is there anything you want to say? As I'm in bed, is there anything you want to say? And I'm just sitting there, and I hear him say, go to Ephesians 1, go to Luke 15, because we were talking about a signature, signet ring, all of this about the signature that we leave as women, our legacy. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is when I'm looking up the words in the Greek, it's exploding. I'm like, oh my gosh, I literally felt like when I shared this on Saturday morning, I don't even know. All I felt like I was on a raft. He was just going. I'm like, okay, I am following. And God wants us to do that so that we don't. And there was a supply, right? There was a supply. Now, the women that were in that group, it wasn't me, because I literally stood back and was like, oh my gosh, I'm watching him just show himself off right now. I never would have connected the things that he was connecting for me. But there was a supply. Those women left strengthened. They left edified. Something was deposited in life that was changed. Amen? And then we only have a few minutes, but I want us, number two. So again, we're participating. God wants us to partner with him. He needs someone to partner so that he can, just think of like a hose or a conduit. He wants to be a conduit to live through us, right? And all we need to do is partner with him. And so how do we position ourselves for supply? The first one was we stay filled daily, focusing on him, talking with him, building that relationship with him. I'm encouraging you to do that. It's so exciting to just, you know, to be led by the Holy Spirit and just walk out this incredible journey and this adventure with him. So another way that we position ourselves, again, this is not the only ways, but another way that we can position ourselves for the supply is to recognize in 1 Peter 4:7, it says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, here it is, let him do it as with the ability that God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Amen. So when we do something, when we show up, so now we're getting filled, what happens is fear tries to come and our flesh is going to try to get in the way and say, you're missing it. You are going to look like a fool. Your reputation is on the line. You don't have enough. Sometimes intimidation can come. And what happens is we have to recognize that whatever, when we do step out, we have to, by faith, take action. And we do it, if I could say it this way, just give me a minute, I'm trying to think of how to say it. We do it empty, but with a full supply. So let me explain that. I think I have it in my notes here somewhere, just give me a minute, I'm gonna look. Okay, I'm not seeing it. So we show up empty of ourselves, full of the Spirit. Empty of who you are, full of the Spirit. Emptied of us, full of the Spirit. So what does that mean? I love this quote. It says, when we think our weaknesses are in the way, we think our weaknesses are in the way, and we don't get our weaknesses out of the way by ignoring them, listen, or pretending they don't exist. The thing we do with our weaknesses is we connect it to something more powerful. So there's times we get frustrated, exhausted, and I want us to think of, and we shrink back. And so in a very real way, when we show up, I want us to show up emptied of you, but full of God, and recognizing that we cannot do anything in our own strength without the Lord. And I think of two stories as we close this up. I think of two stories. In the Bible, there was one. Do you remember when Jesus, he was together with the disciples, and it was evening, and Jesus, there were people that were hungry, and his disciples came to him saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the people away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." And he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke the loaves for the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitudes. When they looked at this big thing in front of them, which you and I many times, and you may even be standing there right now looking at something that's way bigger than you in front of you, and Jesus is saying, "Go ahead and move on this. Go ahead and do this." And you look at it and you say, "But I only have 5 loaves or 5 fish and 2 loaves in my hand." I want you to recognize when you show up in that empty state of, "This is all I have. This is all I have." When you give it to him, there's a multiplication that will happen that will cause that supply to be made available to those people who are able to eat. Because why? When he touches what you have in your hand, we just have to give him what we have in our hand, because he'll touch it and he'll multiply it. See, that's how God works. See, because God is a good steward, and he wants us to steward what he gives us. So this second part is that we step out by faith, is that I'm going to take the little that I have, and God, I'm going to give it to you, and you now put your amazing touch on it, and it gets multiplied. Because stewardship is about, he multiplies what we give him and what we use. See, if you don't step out and use what he's given you and say, "Okay, here I am, Lord," you will lose what you have. He's a good steward over that. Amen? Amen. And so God, when you show up, I want you to remember to show up relying on him. A few years ago, I had gone to a women's event, and there was a woman who said she was asked to minister. And she said, "When I was asked to minister, I said, I don't want to minister," because she said, "I'm going through something personal in my family." And she said, I got nothing. That's what she said, "I got nothing." And she said, "But I'll go home and I'll pray about it." And she said, "I went home and I prayed." And she said, "The Lord said, I want you to speak at this women's event." And she shared this story when she was there. And I was so blessed, because out of all the women that spoke that whole weekend, she was the only message I remember. And she showed up empty. She showed up empty. And, there's a story. And all God wants us to do is partner with him, so that we can make a supply. There's a story in 2 Kings about a widow woman who the creditors are coming because she has no food, nothing. And she's like, "They're coming to take my sons." And the prophet shows up, right? Elisha shows up. And all he needed to do was have someone partner with him, with what God was speaking. He needed a partner. And so this is what he said: "Go borrow vessels everywhere, all from your neighbors. Empty vessels, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons and pour into all of those vessels." God wants to pour in to an empty vessel. Whether when he asks you to do something, you could feel super vulnerable. Anyone who knows getting even up to talk, anything like that, I know sometimes I feel so vulnerable. You feel vulnerable because you think, "I only have this on my hand." But if you will give God that with as empty as you are and say, "God, all I have is this," God will bless it. Amen? Amen. And so the two action steps I have for you is, I want you to start somewhere. So I want you, if you don't spend any time just dialoguing with the Holy Spirit, talking with him, building a relationship, start being aware of him daily. Start talking to him. Holy Spirit, what do you have to say about this? Holy Spirit, do you have anything to say about this? Which way do you want to go in this? Start talking with him. And the second, I want you to think about what do you have in your hands that God wants you to give him right now. It may seem small, but it's enough. And let the master touch what you have to give him. Amen? Okay, so why don't you close your eyes? I'm going to pray. We're going to close out. And so, Father, we just thank you for this night. We thank you for your word, Lord God, that is so powerful. I thank you that you bring to remembrance for each person what you would want them to know personally, Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you that you know each person in here and you know what their walk is, where they are. And so if you might say tonight, you never met this Jesus, you never met, don't know anything about this Holy Spirit, at the end of the service, we would love for you to come up if you say, well, I want this walk with God. I want to know him like a friend. I've never known him like a friend like that. There'll be prayer workers up. You can come up and pray. Also, I want to invite you, if you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because really that's power. That's when you really start to walk in so much power of the Holy Spirit, is that opportunity to live and walk in a greater power in the Spirit, speaking in tongues. It says we edify ourselves when we speak in tongues. If you have never received that gift, but you want to walk in power and you want to walk in that, at the end of the service, which is now, you can please come up. We have prayer workers up here that would love to pray with you. But have a wonderful night and enjoy the desserts as you go out there, and be blessed, and we'll see you on the weekend. Amen? Yeah. Amen.